Evening, beloved. I'm tempted to ask you to do it again. I won't, but I thought about it. Turn in your Bibles over to Hebrews chapter 5. I'm going to be in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 through 14 this evening. Hebrews chapter 5, starting in verse 11. Concerning him, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern both good and evil. Now let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to your word again, we echo our prayers from this morning that you would make it abundantly clear to us. Help us to understand what you have inerrantly and sufficiently, authoritatively revealed in this passage of your word. Lord, especially given the subject matter, I pray that you would help us to understand. Help us not to be dull of hearing. Help us not to be spiritually lazy. Help us not to be immature, Lord, and use this even to confront and grow us out of those things tonight so that we would understand your word and live it out in our lives. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, if you saw in your bulletin this morning, our title this evening is An Indictment Against Theological Immaturity. It's been a few weeks since we were here in the book of Hebrews, so just a reminder of our context. We saw the end of chapter 4, how the author of Hebrews transitioned to talking about Jesus as our high priest, specifically our great and sympathetic high priest. He is the perfect one who was anticipated to come and function as the sacrifice, the atonement, the one who goes in between us and God. He is our perfect mediator. And then throughout chapter 5, verses 1 through 10, the author expounded all the ways that Jesus is the superior high priest. He's superior to everything that he could be compared to. He's superior to all the other high priests who came before. He's superior to Aaron because he is a son of God. He's superior in his work, and that he's superior in his priesthood. And we saw specifically how the author brought in the priesthood of Melchizedek to show that Christ is superior, not just in his being, but in the order of high priests that he belongs to. The author brought up Melchizedek twice in verses 1 through 10 of chapter 5. And now the author takes a short detour from his exposition of the greatness of Christ to rebuke his readers for their shallow understanding, to rebuke them for their lack of spiritual and theological maturity. He says that he has much to say on this topic, and yet his ability to explain it to them is restricted by their lack of maturity and understanding. The author's goal in this passage is that he wants to see his readers grow in theological depth and spiritual maturity. Now, just by way of introduction, as I talk about theological immaturity this evening, I'm not talking about simply an intellectual understanding of what Scripture says. I'm not talking about simply an academic understanding of theology. Ultimately, this is a passage about spiritual immaturity, but the author specifically is focusing on his recipients' inability to understand what he wants to explain to them, that they are limited in their understanding because of their immaturity. They cannot understand deep theological instruction. That's what he's confronting them on. We cannot divorce our theology from our maturity. There are those who love to separate someone's theological understanding from their maturity, as if those two things are not related to one another. Can someone have a true, genuine love for God and be genuinely obedient and faithful, even without knowing the finer points of theology? Absolutely. However, first, this is the exception and not the rule. And secondly, someone's lack of theological understanding will always be the inhibitor to their spiritual growth. It will always be the mitigating factor in their maturity. The more that someone understands the deep truths of Scripture, the more they are enabled to love God and to praise God and to obey God. Our theology, our doctrine should inform our ability to be obedient and to mature and to worship. Many with good intentions say that they just want to stick to the simple truths of Scripture, that they don't want to complicate things. In some sense, this is true. We do not ever want to lose sight of the basic truths of the gospel, the core precious truths of Scripture, of who God is, of what He has done for us. We keep this passage in Hebrews in balance with what we see in 1 Peter, where it tells us to long for the pure spiritual milk of the Word. Like newborn infants, we should never become bored with the precious, simple truths of the gospel. And yet, we are not called to stay there. We are not called to stall out and never grow in our understanding of anything else in the Christian life. It is a false dichotomy to say that pursuing the deep truths and the hidden treasures of Scripture, wrestling through difficult to understand doctrines, will somehow obscure the gospel or make your faith mechanical instead of genuine. Certainly not what our author is saying here in this passage in Hebrews. He's saying just the opposite. He's saying that he is unable to explain to them the things he wishes to explain to them because they lack the spiritual and theological maturity to understand what he is saying. And we should desire to understand deeply, to study deeply. We should not be content with simply a shallow or cursory understanding of what the Word of God says. I think it's also important to say at the outset here that if you are a new believer, if you're just learning these things for the first time, not to be discouraged. None of us have arrived. We all still need to grow. We're all still growing in our theological understanding, in our depth of understanding what the Word of God says. If you're learning these things for the very first time, the last thing you should feel is discouraged that you don't know more. But if you've been a believer for a length of time, if you feel like the author of Hebrews is talking to you tonight, if you find yourself discouraged by what the author says, do not be discouraged unto despair. The author's goal is not to discourage his readers and to leave them there, but to motivate them unto godliness and maturity. So if you're taking notes tonight, we're going to see four truths regarding theological immaturity. Four truths regarding theological immaturity. First, theological immaturity prevents proper instruction. Theological immaturity prevents proper instruction. We see that there in verse 11. He says, concerning him, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain. The author says that he has much to say to them. There's a lot that he wants to tell them, a lot that he wants to explain to them, and yet he can't. There's a large amount of what he wants to say. This points to the fact that it is not insignificant. What he wants to tell them is not just the finer points of some academic, theoretical theology. It's not just some fine point that they can do without. He has much to say. Many important things that are significant for them to understand, and yet he cannot. He is restrained from doing so because they lack the maturity to understand these things in the way that they should. He says it is difficult to explain it to them. The difficulty that the author has in explaining what he needs to explain to them, it's not because of a difficulty that is inherent to the subject. It's not because it is so difficult for him to articulate what the priesthood of Melchizedek is or what it means. In fact, he goes on to do it in chapter 7 of Hebrews. He goes on to explain the very thing that he doesn't explain here. It's not difficult for him to say, it's difficult for them to understand. His ability to come and tell them is made difficult by them as the subjects. His hearers, a sluggish listening, it makes it hard for him to tell them anything. We'll return to that sluggish listening as the reason for what he says in the next point, but for now, just take note of the fact that their theological immaturity prevented them from being able to receive proper instruction. We've already seen throughout this book how the author has repeatedly told his listeners to pay close attention, to pay careful attention. He's constantly telling them, listen up. This is so important for you to understand. In many ways, he is now admonishing them for the fact that they already have not been paying careful attention. He's saying, I have been telling you over and over how important this is. You have to listen. You have to understand this. And yet I know that you aren't. I know that you're not listening. I know that you're not understanding because you lack the maturity to understand this the way that you should. I know that you're not listening to me. As a Christian, you are called to know and to understand the Word of God. This should be your natural inclination. In some ways, how sad is it that God has to tell us to listen? That he has to tell us and motivate us to study. We should want to study. God has given us a book that gives us life. God has graciously revealed himself to us. He has regenerated our hearts so that we love him and we hate sin. And yet still, in the weakness of our flesh, God has to motivate us and remind us that his word is significant. He has to motivate us to study. We should have to be torn away from the word. We should love being in our Bibles. The knowledge and understanding of God, who he is, what he has done, what he has revealed about himself, how he calls us to live. These are things that are essential for the Christian life. These are things that we must know. A deep study, deep understanding for the Christian. We should never consider this something that is optional, something that is secondary, something that we can do without when we're not in the mood or not inclined to study. Hosea 4:6, God says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. A Christian, your immaturity could destroy you. Your inability to understand the word, your lack of study could be your undoing. And God's people fail to praise him, to honor him, to obey him because of their lack of knowledge of who he is, his lack of knowledge of what he has revealed about himself. Theological immaturity will prevent you from receiving proper instruction. It renders you incapable of understanding the things that you have to understand. If you persist in immaturity, it will stop you from being able to learn what you need to learn. So theological immaturity prevents proper instruction. Second, theological immaturity produces spiritual deafness. It produces spiritual deafness. Look at what he goes on to say. It says, concerning him, we have much to say, and it's hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. That is the reason that it's so hard for the author to explain what he needs to explain. He doesn't say it's difficult to explain because I myself am kind of confused. He doesn't say it's difficult to explain because it's so complicated. He says it's difficult to explain to you because you've become dull of hearing. This phrase, dull of hearing, it means this is not the result of a lack of intelligence, it's a lack of effort. You could translate the same phrase as a spiritual laziness, as sluggish listening. They are slow to comprehend and to understand. The word for sluggish in this context, it indicates a culpable negligence. In other words, they have been negligent and they are accountable for it. This was not done to them. This was something they did to themselves. They are incapable of hearing and understanding. They are incapable of listening correctly. They are rendered spiritually deaf because of their own laziness, the byproduct of their own spiritual apathy. The lack of their understanding, the lack of understanding of the truths of Scripture, it causes it to fall on deaf ears, in one ear and out the other. Their lack of theological maturity, it makes the truths of Scripture bounce off their hearts. They do not ascertain what they need to. They don't discern what they need to because they are dull and deaf. A repeated way that the author has been urging, as we've already said, his listeners to pay attention, to listen to him, it might give us some insight into the sharpness of his rebuke to them. He keeps telling them to pay careful attention, and yet he's concerned that they're not listening. I think when you're talking to a child, and even though they're looking at you, even though they're making eye contact with you, you know that they're not actually listening to anything that you say. You see the blank expression. You see the glazed over eyes. You see the mindless nodding in the affirmative while you're talking, and the inability to repeat back anything that was said. The immediate evidence that nothing was understood when they go and do the opposite of what was said 30 seconds later, even though they kept saying, "Yes, I'm listening. Yes, I understand." This is what we are like when we become spiritually deaf. We hear all the words, and yet we aren't really listening. We don't really understand what is being said. And the evidence of that is we immediately go and fail to live it out. We're hearing the word, and yet it is as if we are not hearing the word. One commentator says, they are deaf, and while they are present in the body, they are absent in the mind and might as well be images or statues. Just there, just filling a seat, just listening to words being said, and yet there is no comprehension because of a spiritual deafness. Now look at what the author says is the evidence of their immaturity. It says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. You see, he says, by now you should be teachers. All this time that you've been a believer, all this time that you've known the word, you should be capable of teaching the word. And yet you have someone who needs, you have a need to be taught again, just the basic truths of the faith that you claim to believe. And he's not saying that they all should aspire to the office of teacher, that they all should seek to be elders and pastors like we've been looking at in 1 Timothy. He's saying that given all the time that they have professed Christ, all the time that they have known the word, they should be able to instruct others in what they know. They should have such a depth of understanding of the word that they should be able to articulate it with precision to others, to come alongside others in the faith and instruct and help them. The author has an expectation that time and maturity should go hand in hand. And the sad reality is that often they do not. Time does not always equal maturity. Time should, and yet because of the weakness of our flesh and the sinfulness of our hearts, the selfishness that we often have, time does not always equal the maturity that it should. I know even for myself, as I look at my heart, I thought that I would be further along by now. I thought that I would be more mature by now. That is the result of my spiritual deafness, my theological immaturity, that every time I do not seek the Lord and study his word in the way that I should, it makes me more and more immature. It inhibits my own growth and maturity. These believers are spiritually stuck in the same spot that they were in. They've stalled out. I think of it this way. One person could have 10 years of experience. Another person could have 1 year of experience repeated 10 times in a row. Is that not the sad reality sometimes of our life? Though there has been time spent, we just repeat the same mistakes over and over again. We don't learn the way that we should. We don't take the truths of Scripture and put them into practice in our life. We don't pursue deep study. We don't try to understand the Word of God the way that we should. We're content with just recycling the same things we already know over and over again. Rather than being able to teach, they have a need to be taught the elementary principles of the faith again. This word, you could look at it as the fundamental building blocks, those things which are most foundational and most basic, the basic doctrines of the faith. They have a need to go back to the beginning and learn everything all over again. I think of a book that I genuinely love, and yet I did not pick it up for a long time. I was reading a comprehensive biography of one of the English reformers before I moved from Florida. It's about 700 or 800 pages, and I was about halfway through it. And in the midst of ordination and preparing to move, I set it down. I didn't pick it up for about a year. A couple months ago, I picked it back up, and I tried to start out where I left off. I went to my bookmark and I opened it up and I thought, I have no idea what's going on. I'll go back a little bit, and I go back about 10 pages. I don't remember anything. I go back about 40 pages. I don't remember anything. I go back about 100 pages. I don't remember anything. Friends, you know where I'm at? I'm on page 15 because I started over from the beginning and I'm just slowly working my way through again. I forgot everything that I had learned. I had to go back to the beginning and be instructed in the elementary principles of this book again, because I lost everything that I had attained. Is that not sadly a picture sometimes of what we do in our spiritual life, our understanding of the faith and doctrine? We set aside the Word of God. We focus on other things. We allow ourselves to become distracted. And then we have to go back to the beginning. We can't even pick up where we left off. We forget everything. We become spiritually, theologically immature. We become hard of hearing. We're unable to understand things the way that we should. It's easy at times for someone to misdiagnose this about themselves. It's easy to misunderstand the deep truths of Scripture, the depth of theology, and simply a pursuit of information. It can be easy for someone to be inundated with knowledge and yet have no maturity. Always listening to podcasts, always absorbing material, and yet there is no knowledge of even the basic fundamental doctrines of the Christian faith. It was like the high school boy who's watched hours of weightlifting videos. He thinks he's the expert, and when he goes to the gym, he can't even lift the bar. So much theoretical understanding, and yet no real depth, no real understanding, no real maturity. Absorbing material, listening to podcasts, listening to sermons is not the same thing as having spiritual maturity. We are called to understand the Word of God, to understand it deeply in a way that equips us to live the Christian life faithfully. Third, theological immaturity produces spiritual childishness. Towards the end of verse 12, he says, "And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant." Now, this is the reason for their spiritual deafness, the reason that they cannot understand, the reason they're sluggish in their hearing. They are spiritual children. Spiritual immaturity is produced by theological immaturity. a lack of understanding, a lack of doctrine, a lack of depth in knowing the Word of God. It produces spiritual childishness. This is a symptom, their inability to eat solid food, their ability to only drink milk. This is a symptom of their childishness. You know, the author uses this metaphor for childishness like a newborn. A newborn who cannot eat real food because they'll choke. A newborn who cannot eat real food because their body is unable to even process that food yet. They can only drink their mother's milk. The only thing that they have a capability to process is milk. When you first feed an infant, when they're first born, that's the only thing they can drink because it's the only thing their body knows how to digest. The only thing they can actually draw nutrients from. If you give them food, their body won't process the nutrients the way it needs to because it's not ready. To stretch this illustration a little bit, even when that infant grows up somewhat into a toddler, they still can't eat the food that an adult can eat. Even when their body can digest that food, you have to cut it up into little tiny pieces so they can still eat it because they don't know how to chew and they're going to choke. It's a picture of spiritual immaturity. If you're theologically immature, you can't digest real food. You're stuck just drinking theological milk because your body can't process anything else. Things have to be cut up into tiny pieces because anything more than that, you won't know how to chew it and you will choke. Now, the result of their spiritual childishness is a diet that consists only of spiritual milk. And it produces someone who is unskilled in the word of righteousness. It says, for everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness. Most likely what the author means when he says the word of righteousness is a word of knowing what is right. Knowing right from wrong. That's where he ultimately goes in this passage, is spiritual discernment. Those who drink only spiritual milk, those who are unaccustomed to eating spiritual food, they don't know what is right. If you live on a diet of spiritual milk, you do not know how to live rightly as a Christian. You're unable to discern how to apply the Word of God to your life. It's a good reminder for us that we are not talking here when we say theological maturity. We're not talking simply about intellectual head knowledge. We should strive always to understand the Word of God at a deep level, to know what Scripture says and what it means and how it fits together, to understand the doctrines of grace and how God has revealed Himself. We should strive to be able to articulate theology with precision, that is only useful insofar as it is rightly applied to our lives. Now, this is not a sermon on academic excellence. This is a sermon on loving your Bible because it's the only thing that will make you a mature Christian. You have to understand the Word of God. Theology informs conformity. Your theology, your depth of understanding God informs your conformity to Christ. How can you look like Christ if you don't know anything about Him? How are you equipped for obedience? How are you equipped to honor God as you navigate the complexities of life if you don't know His Word? Theology should motivate faithfulness. He closes out verse 13, the reminder. It says, he's not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. It's a reminder of the author's point. This is his inescapable conclusion after presenting all of the evidence. The reason that his readers can only drink spiritual milk, the reason they don't understand how to apply the word of God to their lives, the reason they're unaccustomed to the word of righteousness and they're spiritually deaf is they are spiritual infants. As one commentator says, it's as if the author is saying, see, you are children. You see this about yourselves, it's because you are children. And when we don't know our Bibles well, when we don't understand what Scripture says, when we don't know how to filter life through the lens of Scripture and proper doctrine, the result is a lack of maturity in our lives. And fourth, theological immaturity is defeated by spiritual discernment. We come to some hope in this passage. He says, but solid food is for the mature, who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern both good and evil. The author gives us a proper response to dealing with our theological immaturity. He shows us first the proper recipients of solid food, of spiritual food that actually provides nutrients. It's for the mature. And a solid food, it would be the contrast to that spiritual milk. Right? The spiritual milk are those fundamental, necessary truths, but basic truths. The most basic things. Theological food is when your body is ready to digest something more. You're able to understand more of what God has said. Those things are for the spiritually mature. They're for those who have outgrown their spiritual infancy. They have moved beyond being limited by just a basic understanding of the Word of God, and they're able to digest and understand more. Notice the way he says that they reach the spiritual maturity. How did they reach the point where they were able to understand right from wrong? He says it's because of practice. And because of this practice, they've trained their senses. Their senses are trained to discern both good and evil. Constant training is what produces spiritual discernment. Constant work. This is something that happens by practice and by discipline. If you approach the Word of God as a box to be checked off, if you think of the Word of God as something that is merely a tool for your morning devotional and nothing more, that you read a few verses and you carry on with your day, you are not equipped for solid food. You are not going to grow in maturity. It is by practice and hard work and discipline in the Word of God, studying to understand, that you will grow in maturity. This word for training in the Greek, it was synonymous with those who were training to be wrestlers in order to compete. The constant physical exertion, the hard work, the agonizing pain, the unwillingness to give up. The athletes who would practice and fight until the end, until they won or until they were defeated, who were ready to pass out. That is the type of effort and work that the author is talking about, laboring hard in the text so that you would grow in maturity. Growing in maturity, it takes discipline and hard work and agonizing effort, and yet it is worth it. The pain and the hard work, it pays off because it produces maturity. It produces a discernment that knows right from wrong. Notice how he connects the solid food of maturity with the ability to discern both good and evil. Your ability as a Christian to know how you should live, to navigate right from wrong, to know what is sin and what honors God, that is an outflow of your discernment from laboring in the Word and growing in maturity. You cannot reach that point without the hard work. And as one commentator says, mature believers grow in their moral reasoning by feeding on solid food. How do you grow in maturity? How do you grow in your understanding of the Word? By studying the Word. This may sound counterintuitive. How do you grow in your ability to eat solid food? By eating solid food. You come to understand the Word. You are able and equipped to understand the Word by studying the Word so that you will understand. Remember the author's purpose in this. He is trying to spur them on by exposing to them their spiritual state. The author, as I said before, later on, he goes on to explain the very thing that here he refrains from explaining. He does tell them, despite the fact that here he says that they are too immature to understand. He doesn't hold back from telling them. He simply points out to them how immature they are. The next section in chapter 6, he exhorts his readers to leave behind the elementary principles. So he knows that they are capable of growth. He's not looking at them saying, here's this thing that I wish you would do, but I know that you can't. He knows that they are capable of growth, and yet he is highlighting the sad reality of their spiritual immaturity. The author is hoping that they will feel an appropriate sense of shame at their theological spiritual immaturity, and it will motivate them to grow. So as we look at this, we ask the question, so what? What do I do with this? Now that I feel sufficiently demoralized and discouraged at how immature I am, what do I do? Where do I go from here? Beloved, read your Bibles more. However much you're reading your Bible, read your Bible more. Your Bible is life. It is the living God's revelation of himself to you. Spend more time in the Word of God. And when you read Scripture, study deeply. Do not be content with casual, cursory readings. Study as to understand. Approach Scripture with an expectation that you will be changed. Study as if your life depends upon it and seek to apply Scripture to your life. Seek to be changed and conformed to Christ, to be sanctified through your study of the Word. Now, do not be content with simply reading the Word and moving on with your life as if nothing happened. Read as if you want to be changed. Read so that you know the difference between right and wrong, as our author says here. Live out the doctrine that you need to understand. Don't wait until later to start pursuing spiritual maturity. I understand how discouraging it can be. When you look in the mirror and you say, I thought I would be so much further along by now. I've wasted so much time. Is there really any point to trying to change anything at this point? Beloved, do not wait. Today, for as long as it is called today, seek God in His Word. Seek to know Him as you only can through His Word. Pursue growth and maturity for His sake so that you would look like Christ and honor and glorify Him. And remember that the thing that enables you to study Scripture is studying Scripture. Seek God in His Word and do not stop. All right, let's pray.